Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Good to be in the house of God tonight. Glad you're here.
Amen.
And Lord willing, we're going to get on this thing here in just a second. But in Titus chapter 3, we're going to look at one verse and get into the message tonight. Titus chapter 3, as this book is a pastoral epistle, you're dealing with in chapter 3 the obligation of the church. And one of the things that he says here in verse 9 says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." There's some folks that get to the Word of God and they find it to be a battlefield with their brethren. Want to aggravate and argue about every little thing. I think they call it splitting hairs, if you will. I used to worry about that. Don't worry about that more, do you? I don't worry about it. I'm telling you, I don't worry about it at all. Rest of you, it's a problem for you, I see. The rest of us, we don't have a problem. But in verse number 5, he's talking about salvation. He says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Thank God, because I didn't have enough of them. Did you?
Yep.
Everybody talking about, "Well, I think I've done enough good to get to heaven." Really? How much you think it would take to get you there? How about all of it? Being perfect.
Yep.
"Well, since I found out, I'm starting to be perfect." No, you're not. No, you're a liar on top of what you used to be.
Yep.
Look at this. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." The only close synonym to the word mercy in the English language is grace. Now, he said, "According to His mercy He saved us." And here's how He done it. "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And it says that that's how He done it, and this is who He done it with. "Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." And it says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
Now, knowing that, we will look at the word regeneration tonight. Regeneration. One word. Regeneration. That one word occurs two times in your Bible. Would you hold your place here and look at Matthew 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, I hear a lot of preaching on 28:19, but I don't catch a lot on 19:28. Both these verses go together. 19:28, Matthew 19:28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration," there's the other occurrence of that word, "when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So we got regeneration here, and shows it's something that we follow Christ into. He was never regenerated, but we follow Him into regeneration. Whatever that word means, and I'll give it to you in a minute. Back over in Titus 3, he calls it over here the washing of regeneration. And knowing that, it shows us something we have to be washed to get.
Yeah.
That's called a progressive mention principle. That's the last one right there. That's the progression. He shows us the first occurrence over there is something we follow Christ into. And then over here says we got to be washed to have it. And we have to be washed in the blood of Christ for sin's debt to be paid, according to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
Yeah, amen.
For with the heart, what happens? Tell me. Romans 10, 10. Something happens right here. What was it?
Believe.
You believe what? What he just said in verse 9. That God raised Him from the dead.
Right.
"For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the
mouth
confession is made unto salvation."
Right.
"But preacher, what if a man can't talk?" Then he'll point at the heart and point at heaven and say, right here, he'll keep doing this.
Right.
That old Kentucky preacher told that story one time. There's people shouting all over the place, and he said that. They called that fellow old dummy. He was talking about like that. Couldn't say a word, but he knew when that happened. Mm-hmm. So what was he doing? Confessing with his mouth. Don't you just love some devil coming up, but what about this? But what about that? Is that all you do? Do you realize God commands and the devil questions? Have that ever occurred to you? Go check that out in your Bible. But look, watch this thing here. You've got here, he said the works of righteousness, we didn't have enough. He said, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. So we have to be washed in the blood of Christ for sins. That's why it's important to have Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7 in your Bible, where it talks about being washed in a certain thing, blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we have to have the Holy Ghost to renew us, according to this verse right here, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And listen to this. When we have both those things, you got John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You're following him at that point in the regeneration. Ephesians 1:13, you get sealed into the day of redemption. And because you're sealed into the day of redemption, 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Because of that seal. He has you. You don't have to worry about having him. He has you. We're not here to hold on to him. We're here to follow him and obey him, love him, and fellowship with him. Regeneration is not reformation. Regeneration is something worth made new. Reformation is where you take something and reform it, trying to make it work better. The way it was working wasn't. But regeneration is taking that thing and making it completely new.
Right.
That's what God did with us and he saved us. Regeneration is a sinner receiving new life from God, according to John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7. You must be born again. That's regeneration.
Right.
And being born into the family of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, where he places us into a new family.
Right.
Now watch these things here. The first thing as we get into this regeneration is the new birth. It is the new birth. And we see literally the names of the new birth. Look over at John chapter 3. Let's look at some of these right quick. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Down at verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. If you'll notice, it says right here, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Here's the King James Bible's built-in dictionary. Contrast those two verses. What's born of water? The flesh is, right?
Right.
Every woman that's ever had a child knows that truth right there. Every man that's watched one said, "Thank God I'm not a woman."
Amen.
True story.
Amen.
You know, I tell that joke about stepping on a Lego, and that's how men feel. How we know y'all feel when y'all pray. Do you know when I tell that thing? You ought to see. I know y'all understand, but when I tell around people don't know me, boy, they blow up. You think I was preaching a bunch of Banny Rooster? They blow up on you and everything. It's bad. I'm thinking, man, for what you got as a president, you can't take my joke. You seriously think he won by 81 million? You seriously believe that? I didn't believe it then. I sure don't believe it now. Now what's less abandoning ship up there?
Yep.
Look at this. And then that verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." That is the first name for the new birth, and that's born of the Spirit. Everybody's born of the flesh. Born of the water. We all got that. And now that we're born in this world, when we get saved, we're born of the Spirit, because that's by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's scripture with scripture. We were born of the Spirit. When people say they got saved without Him, they didn't get saved.
Right.
There's been some famous people make the statement, "Well, I've always been a Christian." No, you kind of hadn't.
That's right.
You got to be. Everybody got to be born again.
Amen.
Even the best people in the Bible, I dare say this, but some of the best people you know in this world are not as good as this lost man Jesus talking to right here.
Yeah.
This guy's a top-notch guy. Listen, this guy right here was over the synagogue and everybody trusted him. He is lost. Imagine what was attending.
Yeah.
And I see that born of the Spirit is the name of the new birth. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Here a while back, somebody came to me and said they didn't know whether they're saved or not. I said, read 1 John. It'll have the answers all right there. And I didn't press that person, nothing like that. They came to me a little bit later, so I couldn't put it down. I got saved this afternoon. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing to hear right there. And listen, she said, did you coax them into that one? No, God coaxed them into that one. I just told them where to find him.
Amen.
1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 9. Whosoever, it says here, is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And listen, being born of is being from or out of, proceeding from, the cause, the source, the means, the author, or the bestowing agent. And somebody in this verse is actually born of God and can't sin. Well, that can't be us. But did you catch his seed remaineth in him? Do you know what you didn't get when you got saved? That seed right there. But I'll tell you who did. The devil was told in Genesis 3 is coming. That seed right there, that one. He showed up in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, and Mary gave birth to him.
Yep.
That's the only person that was born of God prior ever at that point.
Amen.
God is his father and a human mother. Now, knowing that, we look at that thing, and it says there, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. If we're going to say that's us, we got a lifetime of stuff prior to our conversion, a day full of stuff after our conversion, and probably Lord knows what else in front of us that we can't seem to get around because we keep doing one thing over and over very well. That's failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he never did.
Right.
Why? That seed.
Yeah.
That's why he couldn't sin.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he just chose not to. He couldn't.
Yeah. Amen.
And he chose not to on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he is tempted, what did he do? Get thee behind me, Satan, for thy savor is not the things that be. He quoted Scripture. He's showing us how to have victory in our life, but not sinlessness. You get people you preach to sometimes, and you know somebody's mentally ill when you ask them this question. Has anybody here not sinned? And a guy stands up. I had that happen to me in the joint one time, and I thought, y'all got mental illness programs here for these people, because there's no way that guy heard what I said and stood up. There's no way. You know how I know? He had to have at least one sin they put him in there for.
Yeah.
At least one. And God knows what it was. I didn't go looking it up, but I thought, boy, he had to do something crazy. That's all it could be. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, they'll say it again about being born of God. So if we get saved, we got to get saved by him that's born of God. That's God's only begotten Son in John 3:16, right? We sin, but he's never sinned. And then 1 John 4, verse 7, but he says, you know, it's so sad, all the men were our height, but the women were all this height. Finally, we're taller than everybody. Hello, preacher. How are you? Good to see you. Listen to me. I love when you get around people that you never met like them, and you love all them too.
That's right.
It's crazy, ain't it? And one thing about that is, you can't explain how you do it, but you know you didn't do it. Because you know you. Right? Even people that make it hard to love them, you love them. You may not like them, but you love them.
Yeah.
And he said, he that loveth is born of God. If you look over in chapter 5, verse 1, he starts letting this thing out here a little bit more as he's talking about being born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Remember back in Romans 10, 9 and 10, there's your matching verse right there. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So when you're born of God because you believe that Jesus is God's Old Testament Messiah that comes, shed his blood for you, died, buried, rose again, And now he said, everyone that loveth him and begat love also him that's begotten of him. That's why when you get in other places, when there's other believers there, you love them too, because y'all both have the same Lord. That, and look down at verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when you're born of God, you know what I don't have a problem with anymore? I got a problem being tempted. I got a problem of giving in to temptation, but I got a way out of it if I want it. I got a problem of being stumbled and failing, but I got this problem here solved that I'm overcoming. Not because all the years of strict training I've had,
yeah,
are all, no, because of him.
That's right.
I'm not bound to it. It may grab on, but I can kick it off.
Yeah.
It may get a hold, but I can get loose, is what it's saying.
Yeah.
And if you look down at verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We're talking about Jesus right there, right? But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He can no longer take you. He can no longer have you. He can take everything around you. But when you die, he won't be intercepting you on the way up and the way out.
Right.
And the reason being, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're still sealed until the day of redemption. Between now and the grave might be a long time for some of you, but guess what? At the end, he's still got you.
Right.
You're not holding on. He's got you. Now, we know the name born of the Spirit and born of God. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We're talking about names of the new birth. All of these are important. All of these show up, and they all tell us exactly what being born again and what regeneration is. And regeneration, that tells us something. That says born again in one word. Second Corinthians chapter 5, here's another name for it. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, here's the words, new creature. That's another name for the new birth. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When somebody gets born again, they're made a new creature. God does that.
Right.
Well, I got to work on my Christianity. No, you got to surrender. You got to surrender to him. Once you get saved, he works on you more so than you work on it.
Right.
And the reason being, you may want to fix it for 2 or 3 months, but he'll fix it forever.
Right.
I've seen people over and over my lifetime that they could care less about the things of God until their life falls apart. And then all of a sudden, they want to know something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at people in that situation, they do the same thing. They do one of two things at that point. They'll either get saved or they'll play.
Yep.
One of the two.
Yep.
Listen, you go down to the county jail, a guy called me down there, he said, I found one of your tracks. I need you to come talk to me. Well, guess what? They don't just let me walk in and out the jail.
Yep.
That's him. Oh, they wouldn't let you in the county either, would they? Oh, wait a minute. So we don't have magical powers like everybody thinks we do. Isn't that funny? You know somebody had a TV turned over on their kid back when TVs were made out of something? Remember them TVs?
Mm-hmm.
They got the hospital and wondered where I was at. And got mad at it to show up, brother. They got mad at me. Called me and cussed me out with real cuss words. Why wasn't you there? I was so puzzled, I didn't know what to think. I said, why did you think I'd be there? Because you're supposed to know. I may be a psycho, but I ain't no psychic, okay?
I know you're
probably. Okay. If you go to the hospital, chances are I probably won't know unless you call me.
That's right.
Probably.
Amen.
Now, there may be instances. I might be standing at the hospital and hear you come in the door. And you could say, God put you there. Well, he probably did. But he also had me over there, too. But if you call, I'll come.
Amen.
Crazy, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all plotting right now. I'm going to go to the hospital to see if you really know. Well, you're going to find out I won't be there. If you don't call me, I won't go. I'm receiving a transmission from heaven. They're in the hospital. Come on, Lisa, we got to go. Y'all laughing, but people really believe that stuff, by the way.
That's right.
Not about them psychos, but about me. They think I just have this thing where God told me. You ever thought that maybe God wants you to tell me to bust your pride? That you have to admit you down on the rung of ladder to down the rung to a ladder?
Go ahead, brother.
That's as mean as I'm going to get tonight, but I had to get it out of my system. I'm telling you, listen, we in it together. You got a call.
Yep.
That was pretty funny, though, wasn't it?
Amen.
Maybe I get another transmission. It says, move on. Listen. He says that verse about being a new creature. And I've never found, never in my life, found a good independent Baptist preacher that can't quote that verse.
Yep.
And preach on it at least twice a week. But here's going to give you the verse they don't preach on. Galatians 6. Next book, 6 chapter, 15th verse. Now, here's where people get in trouble with the Bible. They quote the new creature over there, but they don't deal with this creature over here. And it's the exact same creature. Okay? Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Now pay attention closely. This will be the biggest lesson you'll ever learn in your life. If you can get this, you will be so far above the average Christian that you'll astound people and they'll think revival has broken out.
Mm-hmm.
When he says that circumcision availeth nothing and uncircumcision availeth nothing, if you ever hear somebody say this, well, I don't believe that person's really saved. They're basing it off one of those two things. Works of the law or no works of the law. Circumcision is a work of the law. It's required. Or uncircumcision. He said neither one of them count. He said, but in Christ Jesus, that's what counts, because that's your new creature.
Yeah.
There are people right now, I promise you, that you think they're lost, and they are as saved as you are, and they're people you think because they do right, they're saved, and they're not saved.
Mm.
They're trying to keep the law. Mm. They're trying to do good. That, well, I'm a fruit inspector. You ain't none of the such. You a fruit, but you ain't a fruit inspector. Okay? That thing right there is of the hidden man of the heart. Yes, saved people will do right. Yes, you can see it in a lot of people. But we're living under a time of the dispensation of God known as the age of grace.
Yeah.
You know what that means? You can get away for a good little while not doing right and still be saved.
Yeah.
We ain't under the law. You know what happened under the law? Try walking on Saturday on the law. I wish them Seventh-day disadvantage really be under the law. Let them see it for just one Saturday. It'd wipe out 99% of their members.
Yep.
They'd say, man, we really didn't do a good job this thing. Half of them eat bologna. So what's that got to do with anything? It's got pork in it. They ain't supposed to eat pork either. That's part of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Not my rules, theirs. I'm a bacon man.
You hear me?
I'm still a bacon man.
Amen.
I had to cut down on my bacon, but I'm still going to eat it.
Crazy, Lord.
First thing I asked is, you got some pills to help with that thing there? Because I can't quit that, man. That's good stuff. Every creature that's born of God. Amen. Listen. But I see people come in, they say, well, such and such, they this. And I used to have that mindset to one day I was sitting in a place, and everybody got up and preached before me, they didn't preach the gospel. See, and there on the wall I got a certificate where I got ordained for the gospel ministry. The gospel's death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They never even mentioned that. They just prayed. There's like three guys preached, all of them said the same thing. They could have titled their messages the same exact thing, because they all preached the same thing. You ain't saved if. And if I'd heard the message in South or North Carolina, it'd been a certain set of rules, but down there where I was at, it was a different set of rules. But none of them was right.
Amen.
Read the verse again. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth, that's your rules in North and South Carolina, your rules in Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, wherever, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. As your contemporary crowd says, we don't have rules. We just have fellowship with Jesus. We won't come worship with us. Come be part of our family. We've got beer joints for Jesus. Just non-alcoholic beer. 20-minute sermon that's for all you Christians that smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You would be charismatic. Preach the Bible.
Amen.
We use such verses because it's easy to understand it. I believe if you read it, you'd quit it and get your King James Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. But I don't believe they're lost.
Come on.
I believe they're deceived.
That's right.
So how do you know? Have you ever heard them talk? Have you ever heard them talk? Have you heard them preach? That's the problem. They don't. Watch this. But what kind of creature? So we need to preach this one, this verse, with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look here. They're both in your Bible. Listen, it's even better than this. They're both in the church epistles. In the church age for the church people that's saved. New creature, new creature. Now watch this one. We've got the new creature. We got Titus 3:5. We call it the washing of regeneration. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. Every day of your life, you've got this choice to make, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we got this word here is another word for new birth, the new man. And it says there, you put on the new man. What are you talking about putting one on? We're talking about a new creature in Christ that every day you get up, you choose to live for Jesus. You choose that no matter what you're going to do, you are going to live for God Almighty. How are you going to do that? You can't keep the rules. We don't prove that. Whether you're circumcision or uncircumcision, either one, you can't keep the rules. You can't run from the rules and be right either. You got to read them and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We start off our day and we say, you know what? We're going to put on this guy. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the you inside you that's born again, that was dead in trespass and sin, now been born again. And you know what that's going to make you? That's going to make you the person that has to make the choice every day whether you're going to live for the Lord or live for yourself.
Yep.
Wait a minute. You didn't say live for the devil. Who do you think you are?
Mm.
If you ain't figured this out yet, Halloween ain't the devil's holiday. This is where everybody tries to look like him.
Yeah.
He wants you to wrap around you.
Yeah.
Be selfish and self-centered.
Amen.
That's the true nature of Satan.
Yep.
But I thought he had a pitchfork. And he wished you'd believe that too.
Yeah.
He's got 99% of America believing it.
Yeah.
And you know what the devil really does? He comes along and says, be positive. Be positive. Smile all the time. Fake it till you make it. It's all good. That's the devil.
Yeah.
What's the most important day to you? Of course, your birthday. Why don't we create an app just for you? We'll call it MySpace. And when that wears out, we'll call it Facebook. And it'll all be about you. And you post everything about you. You can post what you ate. You can post how you love Budweiser here and Jesus here. And it's okay. If somebody says something negative, you say, judge not. Wait a minute. Whoa. Well, judge what? Was that second word what I say? Wait a minute. That's a negative word. I thought you was positive. Now you're hollering negatives at me? Why are you negative thing you? Do you know how negative God is, by the way? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, you know. Listen, I see plainly he said to put on that new man. There's your positive, get in there. You're going to have enough attack you in this world on your day from minute to minute that you need to have that new man in Christ Jesus is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Need your acronym to memorize them four books? I'll give it to you. General Electric Power Company. That's always in my head when I'm looking for them four books right there. It always works. Kind of like when we do the alphabet. A, B, C. Tell me you don't do it. You don't know the alphabet, you don't do it. Just saying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another. That's a very positive thing with a negative word, ain't it? Lie not. But it's positive. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So what we've got is, we put on the new man, because we're putting off the old man. The old man's still around, he don't like it. But guess what? It's okay. You put on the new man going anyway. I notice that when I get to the name new man, I can't put my name there because I didn't create him. But I got to put him on. I got to go out. Listen, there's always the choice and the chance of doing right or wrong, but that choice is made long before you do it. I got up this morning. I looked forward to 6 o'clock. That was my goal, to be here at 6 o'clock, and I made it by 6. Had to make that last turn on two wheels, but we made her. I mean, if there's a policeman listening anywhere in the building, I was not speeding. Just saying that, just in case anybody listening. But I'm telling you, that was a choice I made when I got up this morning. And when I walk out that door tonight, the choice is to make it to the house.
Yep.
When I lay down, the choice is to get up in the morning. It don't happen as fast as it used to, but it's going to happen. The other choice is God's choice. He takes me to heaven. I'll take that one too. But when we get here, we plan on being here. We come in. We worship the Lord together. We've made the choice to do that. When I get up in the morning, I got to make the choice. Am I going to read the Bible and live for the Lord? Or am I going to do what's best for me? That's my choice. And my days usually dictated from that one choice. Do you have days like that? Your Lord had one of those days. Look it up in Luke. He said, and it was one of those days. I read that and I thought, man, it rains on the just and the unjust. He's the just, I'm the unjust. It's raining on both of us. And you know what? I'm good with it. I'm good with it. That's life here on planet Earth. We're going to go through the good. We're going to go through the bad. But I'm going to choose to live for Him no matter what's coming. There's been days that I've woke up and said, you know what, I'll read the Bible later, and it never happened. Boy, they'll be one thing after another after that. By the end of the day, I crawl to the Bible and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But if on that same day I get up and read the Bible and pray, don't matter what happens that day, I'm good. So do you not get mad all the time? But I got somebody reminding me what I read that morning. Remember that you read that verse this morning and said, be angry and sin not? Lord, I do remember that. So I'm going to get mad, but I ain't going to do anything about it. And let it go. I'm going to sing the song, let it go. Let it go. And when I get to them points where it's going real good, I'm not going to be as deceived where I think it's going so good nothing can happen. Because you know what will happen? The devil will slip on you, up on you like a snake.
Yep.
I was doing a really good deed today. I don't tell y'all about this just because it's a good deed. You tell me if it's a good deed. I was weed eating. Is that a good deed? Weed eating's a great deed, I think. And I got through and I thought, I hate weed eating. So I went and got my jug, put the stuff in it, leave freeze up there. And I thought, I'm going to eliminate half this problem. As I'm going along, I about walked all over it. There was a snake. Now normally they've been this big and I've been scared to death. This thing was 6.5 feet long, and I thought, oh my goodness, and I couldn't have run away from him if I wanted to. But he'd done stuck his head in the pipe going through it, doing all this stuff. And I thought, And I got to looking at him, and I thought, nah, they still got them black-tailed rattlesnakes. You get to live. Maybe he's going in another house after one. I don't know. Or a copperhead. Or a water moccasin. We got some of them hides out down there, that little water hole down there behind the house. So, and he'd done about got this far up under there, and I thought, I'm going to reach down, grab him, pull him out, and take his picture. I reached down to get that thing about passed out. The fear of snakes came back. It was real. And I sat there going. And I thought, even in the middle of a good deed, here comes that old snake up on you. Never heard him coming. It reminded me of something. You remind you of something? How good you get to going, doing good things. There comes the devil. He's done up on you before you know it.
Yep.
You try to reach over and pet him, but all of a sudden it comes back to you what he is. Just for a second, I thought, well, that's a good snake. Then I thought, I hate all snakes, but I'm going to let you live. But I hate you, but I'm going to let you live. Just because you eat the bad guys. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. And when you get saved, you become a new creature. You put on the new man. You're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. And you've got the victory already because of Jesus Christ. That's just the names of the new birth. I'll get to the next Wednesday night. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like being born again. When I got saved, tell you what I did. I'd lay in bed at night. And I would get the Bible, and I would read the Bible every night, and I kept looking at stuff, and I kept seeing stuff, and I thought, why don't nobody ever tell this stuff? And then it dawned on me. You know what it was? They wasn't the problem. I hadn't been in church 24 years to find out what the Bible does say. I hadn't read it myself. So I thought, well, they read it or not. Well, they preach. I'm going to read it and see. And I kept finding things in the Bible that really amazed me. I found out that hell is real, it's hot, it's got fire, it's got torments, it's got that. I read that heaven had mansions, and that heaven was a place for born-again believers. And that's why lost people would rather go to hell. They'd rather go to hell and be punished than be there with the things of God, because they hate them here and they're going to hate them there. And I kept reading. I found a verse that told me about church, and I said, now I like that. And I seen one over in Genesis 28 about tithing. I said, I like that. And I read some other things, and I found out something. The more I took it in, the more I wanted to do it. And it helps you out. I ran into a Bible reading program. I started doing that thing. I said, man, I like this. That way you know where you're at. Because occasionally these little markers here, when I'd move one of them, I couldn't find where it was marked next time. General Electric Power Company. I had to start learning how to memorize them books. I tried to get one of them Bibles that had little things on them. I put tabs on the end of them. And I about tore my Bible all to pieces trying to hunt stuff all the time. Because by the time I'd get to one place, the preacher would be back over here and I'd have to hunt it back over here. And by the time he was over there, he'd be back over here. And I still got that Bible. It's got torn places all on the pages. And I finally give up and said, you know what? I got to just get in there and start hunting them books and find out where they at. And then some good Christian person saw me struggling. And they introduced me to the 67th book of the Bible. Wouldn't you like to know what it is? It's called the book of the table of contents, right there in front of your Bible. I kid about being the 67th book. Boy, that thing really helped me out. And then I'd think of something, and somebody say, how do you find things in the Bible? I'd tell them, I don't know. I just have to memorize them. I couldn't memorize all of them. Then somebody showed me where the concordance was in my Bible and started looking up stuff. This is pre-cell phone, mind you. I just wanted to live for the Lord. You know why? I was born again. Something happened. Didn't have my old druggy friends around no more. They didn't like to read the Bible and pray. They didn't like to go to church. They quit hanging around. Then I got you. You my friends now. God is good. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.